This is Geeks Are Wired podcast. We are at Snake River Fandom Con, and I am Bill, and we have the guests this week include...
My name is Savannah Osler. I'm the writer, actress, and director of Twice the Dream. It's a new movie coming out soon.
My name is Christopher Escalante. I am a voice actor and music composer in films and media. Also working on Twice the Dream with Savannah Osler.
Hi, faithful listeners. It's Ted. I am not working on Twice the Dream.
Hi, fellow listeners. This is Anthony. Just here. I don't have a dedicated mic, so I may or may not be in this.
My name is Kazuha Oda. I'm a singer of the rock band from Japan called Kazuha.
So cool.
And we're going to put everyone's stuff in the show notes. So this is a great podcast.
Yeah!
Absolutely.
So, well, I guess we'll start with you guys.
Okay.
So, about the movie.
Yes.
So you wrote it.
Yes. So, it's a family feature film called Twice the Dream. Funny enough, I actually started writing it years ago. And I'm talking years ago. I started writing it when I was 14. In math class, actually, because who listens to math, you know?
And staying school kids.
Yeah.
The nerds. Yeah, you're on a geek podcast.
Hashtag stay in school. So, but it's just a story that just I got so hooked on, and I knew I needed to get that story told in some way, whether it be, you know, through a novel or a movie. And I had always loved movies, and I actually went to film school, and that's where I really turned my story into a screenplay. And after years and years of work and lots of no's and my phone dropping, it finally came to life. And we have such an amazing, we're blessed with such an amazing cast and crew that we were able to get. It was just really just an incredible experience. And my husband was actually the director of photography, so he made everything look good. And I just told people like what to do and point, you know, like, okay, action, you know. But it was amazing and such a wild ride, and I think it's just very affirming to everyone. You know, I want to inspire people to never give up on their dreams, because if I could do it, you could do it too.
Cool. All right, and you did the music for it.
Yeah, so I was hired to do the music for this, and I was actually brought along because I had known Savannah and her husband, Steven, for quite a while. In sort of a magical turn of events, we just happened to meet about a year and a half ago at just a networking event, and actually the three of us clicked like almost immediately. We found each other, and we were talking, you know, we're all about the same age, very like-minded, creative style of people. And it was magic from there. We've worked on a couple projects since then for local business commercials, for a web series, and now we're working on this movie, Twice a Dream, which has been really fun to work on as far as music is concerned, because this movie, without getting too spoilery, is it's a movie about music, you know? Without being, per se, a musical, there are a few musical numbers, because for a quick summation, the movie is about two sisters who want to pursue a life singing music and performing music. So the movie has some songs written for the characters in, like, a few punk songs, a pop song. And so before we got to filming, we were actually writing the songs between me and Savannah. Savannah wrote the lyrics, I wrote all of the music, and we got them produced for filming. And we just got those done about early last summer, late spring, when we were getting about ready to film, and it was fun using those. And then this winter, we're going to be working together and producing the orchestral score for it as well.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And when is it coming out?
We're expecting spring 2019.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely have to look for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, you didn't work on their movie, but you've been doing
next
music.
Next movie.
And, yes.
No, not the movie.
Your next soundtrack. But,
yeah.
No, she's going to be like the Japanese dub of it, right?
Yeah.
No.
That's it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've never done any, you know, movies or anime until now. Just, you know, we just happen to be a rock band from Japan.
Nice.
Who's in USA, you know, touring in USA. And yeah, so we do a lot of comic cons and anime cons. And pretty much all year round, we've been touring in USA.
So what was the decision to come to the USA instead of touring Japan?
Do you remember MySpace?
Yes.
When MySpace was big, that was about the first year when we start this band, you know. It was around, I think, 2008. MySpace was, you know, still big. And our first song was, you know, how do you call it? Everybody could listen to our demo, and for some reason we got a lot of followers from US and some Europe, you know, country from Europe. And then, you know, people started to offer me, you know, to perform at the cons in US. I didn't know the anime or comic scene is this big until then. I didn't know. And they told me, you know, all the con chairs and everybody who was talking to me, they told me, you know, anime is huge in America, and, you know, you have to come. And then, so we decided to get our own visa on our own, and, you know, it's a musical, like a, how do you call it, artist visa? Yeah. So it took us like half a year to get ready, but yeah, with the visa and everything, but yeah.
So have you been here ever since then, or?
Ever since, yes. Wow. We got our first visa around 2011, and since then we kind of keep going, like going back and forth sometimes. But yeah, conventions keep, you know, offering us to perform there. So yeah, but we never been on any animation yet.
Yet.
That was a nice thing about, you know, getting to see everybody here and get to talk to people, because there's so many different types of fan events or fandoms going on in here. So have you been, had a chance to talk to anybody, or you know, make some deals? Yeah.
Yes. I've known Lizzo and like Marky and some other people.
And Christopher.
I don't think I've ever met.
Yeah, we haven't met yet, but I was also brought here by Worky, and I've done a lot of conventions with Lee, so they're amazing people. Oh. Mm. So, yes, it's nice to finally meet you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now you can talk later and work something out.
Mm-hmm.
That's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
So
networking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the nice thing about small cons like this. What have you guys been thinking about this con? Has it been fun?
I very much prefer smaller cons over large cons. I only try and do like maybe one large con a year, like ASIN or Anime Expo in Illinois or LA, just because, not to say that they're oversaturated, it's just being around a lot of people can sometimes be a lot for some people. Mm-hmm. You don't get to know very many of the other guests or attendees. You don't get a chance to talk to the people you want to, just because there are so many there. So smaller conventions like this are a lot more enjoyable for me personally, with getting to know some of the people here, some of the fans who come, the convention heads themselves, and other guests like everyone around here.
Yeah. I had a question. I don't remember what it was, though, now.
Yeah.
Well, the answer is blue.
Hello!
I thought it was red.
But yeah, this con has been fantastic. I like the small... I think I'm like you, Chris. I prefer the smaller environments where you really get to know people and talk to people and, you know, don't feel like... I don't want to say sardines, but, you know, like sometimes if they're really packed, like at Comic-Con in San Diego.
Because, you know, you can go to those bigger conventions for the experience of being completely immersed in. There are so many people who share this love of the fandoms for me, whether it's anime, video games. And that's the great thing about those big conventions. You've got so many people you can meet, so many different ways to get merchandise, meet guests. It's just on a much larger scale. But I feel like the trade-off is you don't have the experience to get to know people as personally as you do at smaller conventions.
Yeah, no, networking in a, when it's a huge con, is just hard. There's just too many people. You can't really spend more than like 2 or 3 minutes with people. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine, at least. I haven't been to one myself, but I thought about going to FanX. Didn't quite make it there, but
Plus the smaller conventions, if a fan finds something they like that they weren't expecting to, mm-hmm. since it's a small convention, they just freak out and they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I can't believe it. I had one girl come up to me. I voice act a character in a series of dating simulator games on Steam called the Seduce Me Otome series.
Yeah.
And despite the name, it is teen appropriate, so I apologize for any misconception.
The last dating sim I played was Doki Doki.
Yeah, yeah Doki Doki Literature Club.
No, it was not really a dating sim.
Such a happy game, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, right?
Anyway, so I meet this girl, and she's come by the booth every day so far because she loves this game I'm in that I'm sure she didn't expect would appear at a smaller convention like this. Because, you know, it's a small indie game. It did somewhat well on Steam and on mobile devices, but just the fact that she... Wait, this is here? I never thought this would happen, and she's been freaking out, and it's just so awesome to see people get that happy about something they love.
Yeah, mm-hmm. no, for
Whether
sure.
it's music, games, fandom of any kind, really.
That's just so awesome about, oh, so sorry,
no.
about connecting to, you know, what would be strangers, but you can feel like you can actually really connect with them and talk to them because you're fans of, you know, the same show or movies or books or video games. Like, that is a really powerful thing. Music, yeah, that's really powerful.
I think it's extra helpful here because... Here in Idaho, we're kind of isolated, and there's a lot of overt culture that's just not very nerd-friendly or geek-friendly. And so to have something like this to let you know that you have people is actually a pretty nice thing. So even if, you know, you don't really fit any of the niches, it's still nice to see what's going on. So I was reading your bio last night.
Oh.
And it said you worked in Brazil. You started in Brazil? Or,
No. When I was a kid, I used to be in Brazil, live in Brazil with my parents
for
like 7.5 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So how many languages do you speak?
Right now, only two.
Just the two?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just the two. That's more than I speak.
I speak two languages as well, although one of them is a made-up language from our second grade class called Bubbacuck. And I still remember it for some reason.
Well, the common joke is, you know, you call someone that speaks two languages bilingual. Three is trilingual. Anything above that's a polyglot. But someone who speaks only one language is called American. So,
I've never heard of that. That's actually awesome.
Yeah. So where are you filming?
Oh, the movie?
The movie,
Twice
yeah.
the Dream?
Uh-huh.
So we actually are in post-production right now. So deep into the editing process, we filmed... In and around Provo and Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay.
That's where I'm from. So pulled a lot of favors, and there was this cool music venue called the Velour. So we shot all the concert scenes there.
So I've heard that Utah is actually a pretty good place for film in general. Is there a lot of industry and support?
Yeah.
There. And
I really feel like the film industry in Utah has been growing so much, since the past 10 years. I actually moved to Los Angeles 8 years ago, and then I just moved back to Utah a year ago, and just because I came to the realization that LA was just so overly saturated with filmmakers, you know, and especially with the big studios, they weren't as indie film friendly, you know, and Utah, in my opinion, has been a lot more indie film friendly, where, you know, LA, we were just like, you know, oh, you know, indie filmmakers, go away, you know.
So do you think the fact that Disney is basically buying every movie studio out there,
yeah.
they'll all just be Disney at some point, do you think that helps or hurts the indie scene? What do you think of, or maybe there's no effect, I don't know.
That's a really interesting question. I don't know if it would hurt or help us per se. I think, you know, if Disney were all of a sudden wanting to buy indie films, now that would help us too. Like, if they're buying all these studios and films, and they, you know, maybe that could help us. Like, maybe they're expanding their brand and market, and maybe, like, for instance, there's Fox has a Fox Searchlight Pictures, which it's their smaller distribution under the same Fox right. umbrella that picks up indie pictures like Napoleon Dynamite. Now, if not ABC. Well, technically, yes, ABC. But if Disney, Disney slash Marvel slash Star Wars, everything, if Disney were to do that, that would totally help us. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, whatever we think doesn't matter anyway, because once Disney completes the circle, then we're all just going to be enslaved under them anyway. No, but I think it... I wonder, actually...
I, for one, welcome our new Disney overlords.
Yeah.
If they're listening now.
I am proudly wearing my Mickey ears.
By Geeks Are Wired.
No, so, I'm actually not sure from a business perspective if it hurts or helps. I mean, if a major company were to consolidate every major release, I could see that being a potential problem, but that doesn't seem like something that Disney itself as a goal would do. If any sort of large company were to try and completely consolidate the industry, that would obviously be a problem.
Right.
But
well, so my thought was is that, you know, making a movie is a risky endeavor. You've got millions of dollars tied up into this, to this piece of art, right? And so you can only have so much risk out at any given time, right? So if we're bundled under one company and they can only really put out so much at a time without overextending themselves and doing that, but spreading the risk seems like a more equitable or more a better thing to do, a more better thing to do.
Yeah.
So my concern just was that if Disney isn't, you know, has all this out there, they're not going to be willing to go for as many different things because they're, you know, you'd be afraid of not making money.
And they have bought small groups before. There was a YouTuber actually from Pocatello, Shay Carl, and he bought their rights. He helped him out, did all the stuff, did their shows, and he took his money, finished up what he was done, and yeah, and it was...
That is awesome! OMG!
Yeah, so, you know, there is still... Yeah, it can happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, dreams come true. That's what we're all about.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you knew this, but our movie, Twice a Dream, is about a dream. So, twice,
and that dream possibly coming true.
This, yes, exactly.
I suggested a title change to having the same dream once again, but they weren't a fan.
I mean, I like it. It doesn't really have the same hook, you know.
I know. What about one time I dreamed this thing, and then the next night I dreamed it again.
That's even better. It's
that's
longer.
Called speak to your local psychiatrist or therapist.
Yeah, dreams can also be nightmares, right?
That's true. I think that's, you know, you have to decide for yourself. Am I going to let my dreams be just dreams? Or am I going to really live them? To me, an unlived dream can be a nightmare. That's like kind of weird and dark, but...
And writing the music for the movie was fun, too, because we're working in genres that are unfamiliar to me. Most of my background is... writing music for film score, indie games, even like anime-style games. So I've had my fair share of writing Japanese rock-style songs and J-rock and J-pop and stuff. I actually just helped someone produce a cover of a BTS K-pop song not too long ago. But funnily enough, of all of the genres, American pop is the one I'm the least familiar with. So that was a fun learning experience.
Welcome to American pop music.
I'm like, I should know this probably,
So what are your favorite bands, or what do you consider influences?
Well, my favorite bands and my influences are completely different. Sure. Because I grew up, I was a band kid all through school. I played the tuba in the band and trombone and stuff. So all growing up, I was very into two genres of music, ska music and a cappella music. Which, I think it was a cappella first. I saw an a cappella group and someone beatboxing when I was about... 10 years old in 1999, and I was like, I want to learn how to do that, you know, beatboxing, vocal percussion, which I haven't exactly used a lot in my career, but it's a lot of fun to do, just like that. But I haven't used that in a film or video game score very much yet. But that led to me doing a choir, orchestra, band, and being a band kid, I fell in love with ska music, which most people... nowadays, ska is essentially a mix between more faster reggae, calypso, and like punk rock. So I was huge fans of Real Big Fish, Less Than Jake, Suburban Legends. And so those are the bands I would say are like my favorite bands. But my biggest influences come from other artistic bands like obviously Ben Folds. I listened to a lot of pop punk in high school as well, which led to me learning how to produce that genre. A lot of J-rock from my love of anime and video games. And of course, I studied film scoring in college, so I learned a lot about film scores and composers for films and video games, so including Nobuo Uematsu and like Yoko Kanno from Japan, and then Hans Zimmer and Danny Elfman here from the U.S., and it's just so much good music out there.
So, and what about you? What bands or music do you like, and what do you consider influences onto your band?
A lot of classic rock from America, mainly.
Yeah, I remember last night you played, too. You played Guns N' Roses.
Yeah,
and,
I love Guns N' Roses. And my bandmates also loves, like, Journey. Alice in Chains. Okay. Or, yeah, we love American rock, classic
now
rock.
Now we're talking.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I do have also Japanese bands that you...
Oh, yeah, X-Japan, and yeah, there are a lot of artists we love, but...
So, personally, I haven't had a lot of experience with J-Rock or anything like that, but I'm a big fan of Fooly Cooly, which is an anime series.
Yeah. Oh!
And The Pillows did their score...
Oh, I actually never heard of
them.
You've
their
never
music. Heard of The Pillows? Because your music sounds similar to me.
Really?
To them. Like the guitar style is similar.
Oh, wow.
So I was just wondering if there was some sort of it, but it sounds like you've never heard of
it. No. Never.
You got to pronounce it Fooly Cooly.
Yeah. Fooly Cooly.
Have you ever heard of heard or listened to Baby Metal? I think Baby Metal's from there too.
Yes. You know, as Japanese, we kind of, how do you call it? For us, Baby Metal is more on the idol group side, you know. Their bands are great. I mean, all the, you know, studio musicians, they're great. But, you know, we take it as more of a teenage idol group. So
yeah, so certainly not viewed as like a rock band
no,
or something.
No, we don't see it as, yeah, rock or metal bands, no.
Rob Zombie had nothing but good things to say about them. So. So what has been your favorite venue to play?
Venue?
The answer is Pocatello.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No, but seriously.
No.
Well, there's a lot, but for some reason, we go to Phoenix, Arizona so many times. Like every year, and yeah, we love Phoenix too. Yeah.
Did you go during the summertime or not?
We usually go summertime.
Oh geez.
Yeah.
Oh, hot.
Yeah.
So yeah, we gained Anna. Say hi, Anna.
All right.
A new player has arrived.
Yeah, I came a little bit late than everybody else, but I am here today.
She was building a mutant bear with two heads.
Yes, I made myself a Frankenstuffy.
Aww.
And it's been pretty cute. So I'm going to show everybody what it looks like, and we'll probably post it in the show notes on this as well. But
yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a...
Oh,
it's
my.
Cute. It's two-headed. It's a bunny.
That is pretty cute.
And a teddy bear.
Yeah, so I guess for
it has a giant heart.
Your listeners at home, this is a bit of a science experiment gone right.
Mm-hmm. Looks like a monkey arm.
I like the heart, though. That's a nice addition.
The heart is a nice touch, for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, that is something you cannot get at Build-A-Bear. Priceless.
Exactly. It's so unique, and it's really cute still. I mean, it still kind of reminds me of, like, how that lady in the movie Igor, like... She's kind of put together like this. She has kind of a smaller head and bigger body.
Yes.
Are you going to make one of those, Savannah?
I definitely want to. I want to make a... I don't know what I want to make, but something really cute.
No, they... I think they pretty much ran out of most of the material.
Wait, what was the Darth Vader?
No!
The Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Do anyone remember YTMND.com or any of those old meme sites from the early 2000s?
I do.
There was like someone putting together Valentine's jokes and stuff like, please, be, will you be my Valentine? Please don't say. Then it plays the audio clip. No! From Star Wars. Like, oh my gosh. Meme culture in the 2000s before anyone even knew the word meme. That
They're
takes
like,
me back.
What's a mem?
Yeah, what's a meme?
About that time, I was still on dial-up, so couldn't really load any of that.
Yeah.
So.
No, places like you'rethemannowdog.com or...
Bored.com.
Or stupidvideos.com. That was before YouTube was a thing.
Yeah. I wonder if that's where YouTube kind of
got an idea.
Inspiration. Like, but
I mean, it is what it is. It was a website where you could upload your own videos.
Yeah.
You know? And now it's... they're going to buy out Disney, I hear. No.
Maybe someday. You never know. YouTube.
PewDiePie will take over.
Oh, jeez. YouTube acquires Disney.
So, in your off time, what do you like to do?
I love bowling.
Bowling?
Really?
Yes, I do it a little too serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to go with the bumpers on, you know, to hold the gutters. I got 3 strikes that way last time.
So are you good at bowling? Have you bowled a 300?
300, not yet. But I can at least do like 240, 230, 240 sometimes.
Holy cow!
I've gotten like just over 200, but that's awesome.
I think my high is like 180 or something.
Yeah.
I've gotten to 98.
Yes, I'm very excited if I break 100. Like,
yes,
break 100,
same,
it's,
yeah.
It's like, it's been a good day. Yeah.
If whenever I break 100, it's like, guys, look what I did.
But
everyone pay attention.
To be fair, I usually go for the bowling alley for karaoke, so.
Oh.
So do you spend time with the band out, like, when you're not touring?
All
or
the time, yes. Yes. We live together right now, you know, because we have to travel together.
Yeah, you're a true rock band.
Yeah.
You have to live together, too. Yeah. That's so awesome.
Because I've heard of some, like, famous groups and like, duos, even, like, Penn and Teller, do not spend any time together when they're not working. And so I'm always interested to see, like, when you're with them all the time, you either have to be, like, best friends, or you've got to, like, at least be able to tolerate them and just know that, like, you're not going to go out there. So I think that dynamic is interesting to me, because I'm sure my wife, Hannah, would like to punch me sometimes. So. So it's good right now, because I would just got back from a programming conference. And then we've been doing this, so she hasn't had time for me to annoy her yet, so.
You guys do much or spend much time together besides working on I guess we do
questions. Actually we do spend a lot of time together. You were just at our place, what, last week?
Yeah.
Watch
so,
a lot of movies, hang
so,
out.
beside working with both Savannah and her husband Steven on their projects, we also just hang out a lot, actually, because we only live about 20 minutes away from each other, we found out. And the first time we hung out was sort of like a mini rap party, because we had finished filming the movie and we had just a couple of key members of the crew there. And then after that, it was more just like, do you want to come over again? Do you want to just hang out? Also, I need to go over to your place more, because I love your fur babies. They have these two little adorable, like, mixed chihuahuas. One of them is Princess, the other's Pongo. If you go to my Twitter right now, actually, my profile picture is me posing with Pongo. It's this little chihuahua who looks terrified, because, you know, that's what chihuahuas do. He's just there like... But, like,
to be fair,
they're so cute.
To be fair, Pongo always looks a little derpy looking in pictures. So
also, I'm a 6'2", 260-pound man to this, like, tiny 6-inch-tall puppy of a dog. So I'm just like, hello, little creature. It's just like...
They love him. They love you, Chris. It's so adorable.
I love them.
Yeah. So you
My
got...
Goodness.
Yeah. And, of course, I spend a lot of time with my husband. I mean, we live together. So
I would imagine so. Do you like working with him, or do you two not see each other out of work?
Well, actually, I love that we work together. And it's really funny because we can just be like husband and wife for like, you know, for one minute, and then all of a sudden we switch into work mode, like, oh, babe, how about this scene? We're doing this. Yes, good idea. By the way, for dinner tonight, blah, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, did you pick up some toilet paper? Yes, but remember, I need to cut the scene. Like, it's kind of just like so, you know, natural. We're like, I'm like, how, this isn't normal. How do other people do it?
Yeah, like, I love seeing them interact both in and outside of work, because he's not only a supportive husband, he like wants to push your project as far as it can go. Like you said earlier, you've been writing this since you were just in junior high at 14 mm-hmm. years old. So both he and your friends who have been working on the film just want to push it to the highest potential it can, because it has that potential to be really awesome. Mm-hmm. So he's like, babe, what do we think about doing this? What do you think about doing this? What if we do this? It's more than just supporting your dream. It's pushing it to as high as he believes that it can go, because yeah. he supports you and loves you. And he's looking over at us right now. He's like, yeah, I do.
Aww. Yeah. I really lucked out. He's such a sweetheart.
Yeah, he was circling us creepily with the camera with his phone out earlier.
He's only interested in her. Yeah.
That'd be him.
I thought he wanted, like, hot shots of the back of my head, because it's pretty amazing, I gotta say. For a head, it's pretty shaped. It's my best feature is the back of my head, really.
I've also enjoyed working...
No, I was just going to say, I've been told that a lot, that they love to see me walking away.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. It's one of those, like, I hate when you leave, but I love seeing you go situations.
Exactly, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, I love working with both of them, because I'm actually working with both of them on different projects as well. Last year, I think it was, we were filming a drama series that we're working on right now called Amarag. It should be coming to Amazon Prime before the end of the year. And that's a very dark supernatural thriller drama series. So on the one hand, I'm working with Steven on, all right, we're making this dark music, this intense stuff, we're doing some fun stuff. Then I go to his wife and be like, all right, we're making a teen pop film.
We're making,
and it's
a happy film.
And it's so much fun.
And it's fun.
We love making that joke because one of the songs in the movie is literally called Fun. So we're all just like, hey, you think this is fun? Just like staring at each other intently and be like, you get it? And like everyone else in the crew is like, yes, we get it.
It's like, yes, you've said it like 5 times today.
Day. Yeah.
That sounds like a Ted-style joke right there.
Yeah,
like
it really is.
Yeah.
Fun.
My coworkers are happy when I get a new joke for the first day. But then by the third week, they're sick of that same joke.
It's not the first day. It's like 5 minutes.
What? That's fair. That's fair.
It's probably more realistic.
He comes to you later and be like, did I tell you that? Yes.
Oh, I don't give him that opportunity. I just tell it again. We get in the elevator, and if the doors stay open too long, it starts dinging. Bing, 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 bing. And I'm like, this is my favorite techno song. And I'm like, it's been 4 years. Stop telling that joke. I'm like, it's still funny to me.
Yeah. As long as you're having fun.
This is my favorite techno song. Any electronic noise that you hear, my favorite joke. I don't care.
No one really gets too annoyed at me. Wow, I don't know where that squeak came from. I went to bed at 3 a.m. last night, so no one really gets too annoyed at me when like a blinker is going and I just start beatboxing to it, because they're just like, oh, interesting. I could do that in an elevator.
So I was thinking, you were talking about not a lot of music with beatboxing or whatnot. Have you heard of the Carolina Chocolate Drops?
No, I haven't, actually.
So a lot of the beatboxing I hear is always in, like, rap and R&B type music, but they actually play a banjo and a violin, and the lady sings, but their percussion is beatbox. It's all voice. You should check it out there.
Yeah, I kind of like hybrid groups like that. Obviously, I've heard it the most in different a cappella groups. Big influences for me were Inside Out a cappella, rock a cappella, groups like that, and modernly Pentatonix and other fun groups.
Yeah, I enjoy Pentatonix.
I think a lot of people remember it was this reggae musician who also had a very Jewish rabbi look named Mattis Yahu, and he also beatboxed in his stuff. So, you know, he's doing this reggae in a really fun, like, kind of slow jam reggae rhythm. I don't know. Is anyone heard of Mattis Yahu? Yeah, I think he's more of an obscure... Oh, our host has. Yay, I'm not alone on this.
Our host.
Yeah, no, it's not a lot, but still, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm not alone on this. I'm not crazy, I swear.
Is that on your happy playlist?
I might have to double check that, but maybe. I have this, it's like an Optimism Extreme playlist, so if I'm like happy or sad or really any mood, I'm like, I want to raise my happiness level because, you know, I'm ridiculously optimistic, always happy, and I still have not found the roof.
See, I just listen to the Forces of Evil because their music is super happy and upbeat, but their lyrics are just so depressing and dark.
Yeah, I have a few of those. It's like,
it's a fun mix. It's essentially like if the show Happy Tree Friends was a band, you know. For anyone who gets that reference, congratulations. For anyone who doesn't get that reference, don't look it up.
I suggest look it up.
Savannah, you're making a family film. Sure. Don't try and corrupt the audience.
Yeah, but even though we made a family film, you kind of know my sense of humor, too.
It's true. There was a lot of not family film humor behind the camera, but...
Because it's all about the fun.
It's all about the fun. Anyway.
So, do you think there's a place for beatboxing in your music? Do you want to do like a collaboration there?
Yeah.
Do you ever do like a speed metal thing with the double pedal?
Oh, yeah. So cool. Cool.
Hopefully I'm not blowing out the audio. We've got the mic mufflers on them.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, definitely. See?
Too much coolness
are happening.
For the audio.
Goodness.
Exactly.
So much fun.
You are on it.
Do you think the audience is sick of us hearing us say fun yet?
Well, is this the Fundum Con?
This is a Snake River Fundum Con.
It is.
Not Fandom Con.
It is.
And certainly not that other word that we're not going to say. Or we'll get sued.
I love it.
You mean cheese?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I said it.
Queso.
I think he's talking about comic books. I've had a really hard time every time I say comic anything. Like, Bill is like correcting me even when we're not on the podcast. I'm like, Snake River Con, and he's like, no,
stop it.
It's the Fandom Con.
I remember I was talking to someone and they legitimately didn't know the first word in Comic Con was comic. So they're like, yeah. So what does the word Comic Con mean? Just like saying it without the thing, I'm like, well, yeah, it's a comic convention. And they're like, wait, is that one word or two words? Comic-Con. I'm like, yeah, two words, Comic-Con. And they're like, oh, it's about comics. It's like
Comic-Con.
Okay. You'll learn something new.
That is fantastic.
I think popular culture, like people who don't go to these things, like you see a lot of the people cosplaying, you see a lot of the panels that are going on. And so people don't really think about, like, the comic books that are for sale. Like, I went to Rose City earlier this year, and my brother is a giant Spider-Man fan. He just loves Spider-Man, and he's trying to finish this collection of every comic book with Spider-Man in it. He says he has about 180 comics to go.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, he's got a huge collection of comics that he's been getting forever, and... Like, at a certain point, he's like, I'm just going to ditch you and go look at comics. And I didn't see him for, like, 6 hours because he was just digging through the stacks because it's a really great place for people to go if they want comics.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
it's kind of interesting that people, like, people go to these things for different reasons. And so, I mean, and even here, we do have at least one comic, our local comic book store. Captain Bingles is here, so...
And for those who are into comics, it's so much fun for them. You mentioned the Spider-Man comic collector, a friend of yours.
Right.
It reminds me of, actually, he's a video game composer. He's a music composer and producer named Tommy Tallarico. Like, he wrote the music for Earthworm Jim. He organized a video games live music tour. And one would assume, you know, he's very successful. He has his hobbies. He's a big nerd. He legitimately has a room dedicated to Spider-Man in his house. And he shows it off on YouTube. You can find this on YouTube, where he's got, like, life-size statues, a copy of every single Spider-Man comic ever made, like Spider-Man rugs, furniture, all that. And that's just, like, his indulgence,
you
know?
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
So it's fun when you're able to pursue your passion like that, in that sort of freedom, you know? And I've met him a couple times. He's a cool dude.
Geeks are cool.
Geeks are cool and hot and awesome. And, yeah.
Well,
we're
basically
marrying.
we run the world now, so
pretty much.
That's very true.
It's kind of a strange dynamic because I feel like even when I was in high school back in the 90s, like we were still kind of marginalized and minimized.
Oh, yeah.
And now I see the kind of people that do the things that I do. Because, like, in grade school, like, literally a good night of fun was us going into our basement and programming in BASIC. Like, you know, just doing, like, just programming for fun. And, like, I mean, people harass us all the time, but we just did what we like to do. And now, you know, we're all hugely successful. Well, I'm not, but my other friends are. Like, as far as in the making their passion, the thing that they enjoyed growing up, into a career and making a real living out of it. And, and
that's like what I said, life's all about.
I kind of had some fears and was afraid of math and like I had.
Aren't we all?
Well, you know what? Math gets a bad rap because a lot of times it's taught as memorization. And I could go on about that for a long time, but if you truly like are taught how the number system works, math is so much easier. But we just don't understand numbers here, which is sad.
Yeah.
I hear that math also helps with script writing.
Exactly. I do have math to thank for that inspiration.
So yeah, that's true. But yeah, I actually forgot where I was going with this. So.
Math will do that to you, yeah. I tell you.
But so, yeah, okay, yeah, geeks rule the world. So, but like in the last 15 years, I've seen people who do the things that I like to do are way more in popular culture, and we kind of drive our modern society today. So I think if you're interested in weird, esoteric things, like don't be afraid to come out and say that you love playing with electronics or you like to program or you like to do that stuff, because those are the people that, you know, the next generation that's going to lead us towards the future.
That's for sure. And look at how much like the comic culture and nerd culture have really affected the box office. I mean
it's taking the front stage of the world.
You know, it's just, you know, superhero movies all year round, and it's awesome. And, you know, I think the first film that majorly did that was Spider-Man back in 2001.
The Sam Raimi one.
Sam Raimi one. Mm. Yeah, that's the one I think really...
Actually, which came first, the first Spider-Man movie or the first X-Men movie? Because those were about the same time.
Oh, that is a good question.
I don't remember.
I thought it was Howard the Duck.
Oh, that one,
I don't
yes.
know.
Howard
what movie?
The Duck.
No.
Because, I mean, wasn't that the first movie based off a comic book?
I mean,
except for maybe, like, Superman.
When did that come out?
Superman movies.
Yeah.
That was back in the 80s. I mean, Superman movies besides that.
Yeah.
But I mean, this was it Marvel? I don't remember.
Well, yeah, Howard the Duck is Marvel.
It was
yeah.
technically Marvel, so.
I was going to say, like, you could also Marvel. Mention other ones that people forget are comic book movies, like Men in Black or.
That's true.
Blade series, stuff like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that Men in Black, that was like a DC comic, right? Men in Black.
Image.
Or Dark Horse? Yeah. Image, maybe?
Either Image or Dark Horse.
Something like that.
Yeah, Kill Bill was also like one of those too.
It was.
That,
oh my goodness! Yeah,
that so came from a series. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot who they said it was from. I think it was like Q and U or something. Or when I was like listening to who actually made it, but I can't really remember. I'd have to look it up.
Mm-hmm. So, like, with that in mind, I know this is your podcast. You're asking
by
the
all
questions.
Means.
I want to pose a question to everyone else since. You know, there's a lot of people who sort of like gate the nerd fandom and being a nerd and being a geek. Like, oh, everyone thinks it's cool now. Where was it when I was a kid? Like, what do you think? Is it like more of a positive or open impact to opening up to the idea of people being geeks and nerds? Like, sure, it can be considered the cool thing now, but what's wrong with more people getting into the things that you love, you know? Mm.
So I think that's an interesting thought there, because you do have to worry that as more people, as things become more popular, some people get aggressive about their guarding of that thing. So you end up with a lot of like gatekeepers and mm-hmm. the whole Gamergate type of situation, which I believe just happened with comic books as well, mm-hmm. which is problematic. But I think the more people that are included, the more ideas that we get in anything that is worth spending your time with, that it, ultimately it's a good thing. We just have to make sure and avoid catering to our baser instincts of you know, being upset that you made fun of me for this when I was a kid, and now that I'm an adult and successful in it, all of a sudden you want something to do with it.
All of a sudden it's cool.
Right, right. So we got to take the stance of, oh, you've never read this book. You are in for such an exciting time, right? You know, instead of, oh, you haven't read that book, what kind of a loser are you, right?
And so, yeah, and that happens with, like, the gating of different fandoms, different cultures, like, even against gender and other races,
right,
too.
Right, sure,
so
absolutely.
That's absolutely got to stop, you know?
What do you think, Anna?
I think it is that way with whether it's video games or comics or even anime. Anime, I think, in the past, anime hasn't really been that big a thing until lately. And even now, like, everybody's interested in anime now, but it's a lot better that people are actually coming together and actually kind of displaying what they do like and actually not afraid of kind of sharing this type of culture and everything.
I agree with him, and then, you know, I mean, both of them, but I personally want more people to, you know, get into, you know, geek world. I mean, like especially in Japan.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, parents, I mean, you know, older people kind of, you know, say, oh, anime or comics are for kids. Or, you know, some people are, you know, not open-minded enough. I want more people to, you know, take it as just normal, like daily, you know, thing that should be around you all the time. I love comics and anime, so, and I love people who are into it. Yeah, so, yeah, I want, you know, the culture to be much bigger and, you know, easier to get into.
Right, and I think the internet has really helped with all of this, because we can, you know, if I'm really into Steven Universe, which I am, you know, I can go online and I can find people who are also into it, and I don't have to worry that, you know, I'm a 40-year-old man who's
like, who cares?
Yeah, like nobody knows who I am, and
you do you, boo.
What I, you know, what my demographics are. I can just go in and talk to people about that, and I don't care, mm-hmm. you know, who they are, because I just care, you know, about the passion for it and finding out more information and, like, hearing thoughts, other people's thoughts about the things. So, yeah, absolutely. I think that's great.
Absolutely.
And with that, even a lot of people, like, oh, think geek culture, you know, only comic books, only cartoons or anime or things like that. No, geek. You can be geeky about music. You can be geeky about science, you know, like, with the idea of, like, oh, geeks become...
You can
become,
be geeky about sports.
Yeah, exactly.
You could be geeky about cosmetics.
There you go. So, just what do you want to get into?
Mm-hmm. So, I actually had a conversation. I'm very anti-sport. You said that, but... And I've always been very, very... I never liked sports. The people who like sports were always mean to me in high school, and I got to be the victim. But
same.
But also, like, when I was watching The Simpsons and then the football game would go over, I wouldn't be able to watch the rest of The Simpsons because football is more important. So, like, I used to treat people who do the fantasy football stuff with derision, and I realized recently, like, in the last 5 years, I was challenged on that point. And realize that I was wrong. Like, even people who, like, people get geeky about their own things, and we need to recognize it as such. So, you know, someone is just really into football. I mean, that's awesome. That's a wonderful thing. They do their own version of cosplay. They're painting their face. They're going on it. They're wearing their favorite player's jersey. I mean,
or the fantasy, you know, football. It's basically like Dungeons and Dragons type of thing, or a fantasy.
Right.
Thing with that.
Oh, that's
right.
True.
Yeah.
I have a friend on Facebook. I think he's a game dev or something like that. I just know him as Doc. We met on Facebook, and he seems like he's kind of a big deal in game developer area, but I really couldn't say. But he's developing, he's Canadian, and he's developing a fantasy hockey miniatures game called Over the Boards. And so it's been interesting to see that because it is. He's very, very into to hockey, but he's geeky about it. And so, yeah. So, yeah, I just wanted to make a point that you know, sports nerds are also, they still qualify, even though, you know, we just need to get together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, whatever you're nerdy about, just love it.
Yep.
Support other people, too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Talk nerdy to me.
So, we should probably wrap things up. So, we'll start over here. Where can people find you? Where can they buy your stuff?
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, you can find us on Facebook. We're Twice the Dream. I think we're at Twice the Dream Movie, if I recall. And on Instagram, at Twice the Dream Movie. Even if you go on YouTube and you just search Twice the Dream Trailer, you will find the movie trailer. And we're hoping to release next spring. So, unfortunately, you'll have to wait till then, unless you're listening to this podcast in 2019 in the future and you've watched it and hopefully love it.
Time travel.
So yeah, that's how you can connect with me.
And yeah, you can find more info about me at ChristopherEscalante.com or just search Christopher Escalante on Google because I have an awesome name and it's very easy to find. I'm also on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And I know I mentioned, I talked about a lot about music today, but I also do voiceover work for video games. So if you're interested to learn more about that, you can find that out on my website on IMDb. And once again, that's just Christopher Escalante. Thank you.
Or in the show notes.
Same on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, but we have a website, kazha.net, mm-hmm. kazha.net. And our music is on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, or pretty much everywhere. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you, everybody.
Awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us. Yes.